Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And this show is brought to you by Christine Scott, and we are so excited that you have joined us. We created the show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality, and we have discussions on various topics, and we feature guests, including healers, psychics, mediums, and speakers.
And you can follow our show on Wednesdays from 3 to 3:30, our midweek stress buster show. And we have a variety of different topics, as well as phone in Friday at noon. And that goes roughly from 30 to 60 minutes. And then we have Sunday from 6 to 7. You can also follow our Blog Talk show by clicking on the follow button. And check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. You can also email Marie and I at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com if you'd like to give us any feedback or insight about our show, if you'd like us to do something else, talk about something else that has to do with spirituality. We're more than happy to hear what you have to say. You can reach Beth at 651-941-36. I also do intuitive readings, healings. We teach classes, and you can reach me at or Marie at 651-303-0555. And you can download our shows as a podcast using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons on our Blog Talk Radio page. And also go on to Facebook, and please like our Divine Goddess Radio page.
Yes, and welcome. Now, if you've been following our show, the last couple weeks we've been talking about crystals and chakras and, you know, how to increase the well-being of yourself. And so what we thought we'd do today is continue our discussion on crystals and kind of talk more about, you know, how to charge them, how to cleanse them, how to create grids. And what we thought we would start with is the signs of the zodiac and what stones, you know, we'll give you three stones that correspond with each sign. And then, you know, there are more stones or crystals associated with that. But you can start here, and then whichever one appeals to you, then you can, you know, carry that with you or work with that stone.
There you go.
So let's start with...
You know what I would say, because some people don't even know what their zodiac sign is. So I'd say
okay. If
you have a way of being able to say, like the first one is Aries, which is from birthdays from March 21st through April 19th. And stones, again, you're not limited to this, these stones, but diamond, amethyst, and aquamarine would be an excellent stone for you to be able to work with.
Okay. Yeah, you have a different book because mine is a little bit different. So Aries in my book is from March 21st to April 20th. Which is kind of interesting,
the cusp dates.
But, yeah, the same kind of stone. Garnet also, kyanite,
mm-hmm.
is good for Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Taurus, April 21st through May 20th. And the main stones for Taurus are rose quartz, agate, and aventurine.
Aventurine.
Yep.
And then Gemini, which is, I think she ended off on, oh, mine says May 21st through June 20th, so if it's May 20th, whatever.
Yeah.
So you would have, you know, any kind of a tourmaline. Again, an agate would be wonderful for you, and a calcite.
Wow.
Again, not limited to.
Right. And then Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. Emerald, moonstone, and pearl.
Okay, and then Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. That would be cat's or tiger's eye. Amber is phenomenal. Or a carnelian.
And Virgo, August 24th through September 23rd. Gold topaz, citrine, and tiger's eye.
And let's see here. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. And that would be sapphire. Fantastic, because I'm a Libra. As well as... Opal, fantastic, and moonstone.
And Scorpio, October 24th through November 22nd, hematite, coral, and obsidian.
And then you have Sagittarius, which would be whatever date she just ended on. Which one was it? Because I'm seeing that we're the two different books. And it's what, November 21st through
December
21st. And that would be turquoise, amethyst, and blue lace agate.
And then we have Capricorn, December 22nd through January 20th, onyx, malachite, and tourmaline.
And then we have Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. And I'm seeing a blue obsidian, which I have never seen that sold yet, but good luck, and fluorite and labradorite.
And Pisces, which is me, February 20th through March 20th. And a lot of times you'll see February 20th through March 19th. But aquamarine, amethyst, and blue sapphire, believe it or not.
That blue sapphire is a phenomenal stone.
Mm-hmm.
Libra, sapphire is a stone of ours, and I'm telling you what, absolutely excellent, excellent to wear. So I would say, so the next thing is, why don't we just give a, do we want to go in and, if people didn't join our last show, just do a quick update on the chakras?
Sure.
So do you want to start?
Do you want to, should we talk about what chakras are again?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So chakras are energy points, and they relate to a color, and you've got different points starting from the bottom going up to the top of your head. So your root chakra corresponds with red, and that relates to stability, career, and money.
Oh, and then you have the sacral chakra, which is, some people say it's your belly button, but mine is below. And a lot of us will sit here and say it's just below the belly button. That has to do with creativity. It's about creation. That's our money source, because it's all about reproduction, and it's what you're creating. So that would be the sacral, which would be the second, and the color is orange.
And then you have the solar plexus chakra, which corresponds with yellow, and that is usually in your abdomen, you know, or back behind your navel. And that has to do with power, self-esteem, control,
free will.
Yep.
Oh, and then you have your fourth chakra, which would be the heart chakra. And that has, you have your high heart, your middle heart, and your low heart, and they all represent certain things. But right now, a lot of people are drawn to turquoise, and the reason they're drawn to turquoise is because the high heart, which is what we're tuning into, is our high heart, which is associated with the next chakra. But this is all about divine love. It's all about allowing love into your life and being able to love, you know, others outside of yourself, yourself and others. So.
And then your next one is the throat chakra, which corresponds to blue, and that is related to communication, speaking your truth, asking for your needs to be met by being able to communicate clearly.
And your sixth chakra is the third eye. That is your psychic eye, and that is in between your brows. And that color is indigo, because the colors go, well, anyways, we'll say that afterwards. But it would be indigo, and this is where it hooks up with the high heart, the throat chakra, and then your third eye. And it's being able to have that intuition of the knowing, of the seeing. We also have chakras that are ear chakras. They're psychic ear chakras, believe it or not, and those are above your brows. And so that allows us to be able to hear sources outside of ourself, just so you know. So a lot of us are working on clearing that up. So, and that color, did I say, is indigo?
Mm-hmm.
It's indigo? Okay.
Yep. And then you have the crown chakra, which is at the top of your head, and the color associated with that is a royal purple, very beautiful purple. And that is related to divine guidance. That's where you receive your divine guidance. That's where you get your claircognizance, your clear knowing. That's where, you know, your ability to receive information and thoughts, that comes in through your crown chakra.
Mm-hmm. And that's viewed as, it's in the violet category, guys. So our chakras go Roy G. Biv. So it's starting from your your lower half up to your upper half. And so the lower chakras are considered the first three, the root chakra, the sacral chakra, and the solar plexus. And from your heart on up is considered the upper chakras. And then we have chakras that go above us, even above us, and they can go way past 36, and which one of them is connected to our soul star. And then we have below our feet, which is the earth seed, the earth chakra. And we have feet in our chakras in our hands and our feet. So we have chakras everywhere, you guys. But we have 12 major ones that we are working on right now that are being worked on and transmutated and transformed. So we're going through a lot of recalibration right now. So
yeah, and then you know there are gemstones that relate to each chakra as well. So if you are feeling that one of your chakras is out of alignment or not, you know, it's kind of muddy or you're having issues
mm-hmm.
related to that chakra, you can use a specific stone or crystal and lay it on that chakra and try to heal it or get it back into sync.
And now, just so you guys know, we can sit here and we can tell you some of the stones that are really helpful on your chakras, but don't think that you have to be, that those are the only ones that you can use. This is just for those of you who stumbled across this page, this blog, and are going, chakras, what are you talking about? And so you're sitting here looking for something else outside of what it is that you've been practicing already, and so we're just going to give you a general idea of
yeah, because
the
we've been talking about on our last two shows, so we don't want to repeat those shows,
mm-hmm.
but just as a quick summary,
mm-hmm.
You know, stones for a root chakra would be like garnet, hematite, red jasper, ruby,
yeah.
black tourmaline.
And you can go ahead and say the other one.
Yep, okay. The second chakra, which is your sacral, you can use orange jasper, carnelian, citrine. The third chakra, your solar plexus, you can use tiger's eye, topaz, yellow tourmaline. The fourth, heart chakra, you can use rose quartz.
Love it.
Emerald, jade. Throat chakra, the fifth one, you can use aquamarine, celestine, moonstone, and opal, and turquoise.
Love it.
The sixth, the third eye, you can use sodalite, amethyst, sapphire, or fluorite.
Or lapis.
Or lapis. Seventh, you can use amethyst, diamonds, rock crystal, or violet fluorite.
Or crystal clear quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So those are just a brief of what it is that you can use. And just so you guys know, amethyst and selenite goes anywhere and everywhere, all over your body and your chakras. Those are two that you can use anywhere. And you want to be really mindful of the darker stones. I personally would recommend more for your lower half, like your solar plexus on down, because they carry a different energy. And just, you know, those of you who are really hypersensitive with energy, just try it and see. You're not going to hurt yourself, but you'll feel the difference when you put those darker stones on your upper chakras. So,
yeah. So if you, you know, what you can do is you can carry them in your pocket. You can carry them, you know, you can wear them in your on your purse and in a jacket.
Jewelry
in your car.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you feel that you need, you know, the help from the energy of the stones.
I mean, there's elixirs that you can, again, you would have to know, you'd have to do a lot of studying on elixirs.
Right.
Because there are stones that you cannot mix with water because they can become poisonous. So you want to be really mindful, but there are some stones that you can do. If you do, if you really study on crystals and stones and ask around
before
you do
anything. Yeah, some of them you can put into water and let them soak and then drink the water.
Yeah, but again, you have to be mindful and do a lot of research because there are some that carry properties that are poisonous to the body. So again, we are not doctors. So if you get guided to doing something, make sure you know what it is that you are doing.
You know, when you get your stones, should we talk about programming them and cleansing them, or did you have something else you wanted to
finish? No, I was going to say I think we should go into how you would awaken your crystals, because it's really cool. Crystals are so phenomenal to be able to use, you guys, because remember they're from the earth, and the earth has many properties to help us with the healing process because we created our own crud. So right now, I know people who have never know nothing about crystals and stones, people who use crystals and stones and maybe went into different modalities of working with were being brought back to the crystals and stones because of the properties it carries. So there's a reason that everybody's being drawn to the crystals and stones right now. So
so let me ask you, when you buy a crystal or a stone,
mm-hmm.
do you cleanse it and charge it first?
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so
I do. Yes,
you,
I do.
How would you recommend cleansing? I know there's a number of different ways.
Oh, there's a number of different ways. Just some of the ways that I do, I will sit here and I will wash it, and I will wash it like in lukewarm water, more on the little bit of the colder side, and you visualize that all the negative energies and the old programs that are in it are going down the drain, and then I also visualize that as it goes down the drain that it isn't doing any harm. Or you can sit it in the moonlight outside.
Mm-hmm.
You could sit here, and if you need it quickly, like if you need to use it quickly, however, I wouldn't recommend it because you want to make sure that, because you have to realize, you guys, there's a lot of people who handle this stuff. Their energy goes into it. So you want to make sure that you're getting rid of all that stuff, because crystals and stones also have like an auric field also, because it's an energy force. It's a life force. So you can also put it in the moonlight. You can also, selenite is a good stone to be able to utilize with it. You can set it on there. I put it in the freezer if I need it really, really quickly. I can tell. I can tell when there's a lot that has to be cleared from it, and then it's safe to use, but I will not use it for 30 minutes to 60 minutes. And for those of you who use crystals and stones in your healing work with people, you can put it in, so have like two bowls, because sessions usually when you're working on people are 30 to 60 minutes or longer, so have two bowls simultaneously that can go into a freezer, not on food. And so when you use one bowl, then if you have another client, make sure you're cleaning your area, clearing your area of all those energies that are being released from the healing work, and then switch bowls for the next person. And so then what you want to do at the end of the night, again, I recommend this, is that you clean them thoroughly and have them sit out in the moonlight. And it doesn't have to be full moon, new moon, whatever, but it's just being outside, because it's getting the tree essence, it's getting the earth essence. You're getting all the elementals, the fairies and all that, who can do work on them also, so you're clearing it. So, again, I do massive cleansing of mine 1 to 2 times a month, and, man, does it feel a difference in my house. But I have crystals everywhere.
Yeah, and you can also soak them in salt water,
yep.
You know, for a couple hours and then rinse them really good. You can put them in sunlight. Sunlight also
will
mm-hmm. cleanse and charge.
Oh, and rain.
Rain, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Green is really fantastic.
So I've seen where you can get dry, uncooked organic brown rice, and you can put your crystals in there,
mm-hmm.
and that cleans.
Yeah.
You can do Reiki,
mm-hmm.
smudging.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's a variety of different ways, you guys,
yeah.
just so you know.
I like to, when it's full moon, I like to put mm-hmm. all my crystals under the full moon,
mm-hmm.
because I really feel the energy is pretty powerful when it comes through. So I try to do that once a month.
And if you're feeling really ucky mucky and you have them in your house, that's a good indicator that your crystals literally are saying, would you clean us already?
It
isn't any different than we bathe every day. You know,
right.
Most of us bathe every day, I should say that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I did not put them in the full moon this last month, and I can feel the house doesn't feel as energized as it normally does, so. I'm going to have to do a special little cleansing with mine, all of mine, and I just bought some new ones. So I've got to cleanse those as well.
Exactly. Also, one way that you can activate your crystals, you can sit here after you've cleansed it, then you sit down with it, and you can hold your crystals in your hands, and then you can concentrate on it. And then you just can either say out loud or say to yourself, I dedicate this crystal to the highest and best good of all who come in contact with it. Or if you'd like to program the crystal for a specific purpose, you can state clearly what that purpose is, you know, and you want it to be of the light, that it's for the betterment of all. Crystals and stones should not be misused, because we did a lot of that in other past lifetimes, such as, you know, for one is the Atlantis time. So we want to use these stones, and we want to use them in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They're for healing.
Mm-hmm.
They're for healing. It's not for manipulation, so they are for healing. So,
yeah. So, you know, once you get them programmed, then, you know, the program usually stays with it unless you cleanse them and then ask for it to be used in for something else.
And I just do basic activations. I just sit here and say I use this crystal and stone with love and light, mm-hmm. and that anybody else that comes in contact with it, that the same goes for them. It's for the highest and best good of all. It's not what I want for them. It's what is needed for them. So whatever has to be activated within the individual, because that's what crystals and stones do. They activate programs that are within us already.
Right. And what you have, you know, you may touch that crystal or stone and get a specific feeling from
mm-hmm.
it. And then your friend comes over and touches it and they're picking up on something totally different. It's what they need
mm-hmm.
to feel or get at that specific time.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a lot of individuals, you know, if you have your own specific ones placed all over the house, you know, I highly recommend that you have an altar for yourself, like in your bedroom, or a sacred space for you,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and it's about the energy in that space for yourself. So just be mindful, you guys, it's creating the sacredness for yourself. So if you let a lot of people touch it, don't sit here and ask, well, what's going on? It should be something. If it's your space, it should just be you that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a pet or some form of an animal that you're a caretaker of goes in there, that's one thing. But I'd be really mindful of others touching yours that you use, like, on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, they will not let you go near theirs.
Yeah, I've been to houses where they've said, you cannot go in this room because I have a sacred
yep.
space,
sacred
you know,
space.
Set up. So yeah, you do with it what you want to get out of it, and
exactly.
how you want to use the energies from those stones.
Like I have a ginormous, well, it's not ginormous, it's maybe a foot and a half, this beautiful dark purple amethyst in my bedroom, and oh my Lord, nobody touches that stone, nobody. But that's my stone, amethyst is my stone. And then I have selenite all over. I would say that and rose quartz, those are my three favorite. I have everything you can think of, but I don't have them all.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have them all.
Yeah, and one thing about selenite, you don't actually have to clear it.
Yes.
But I know that I have someone who comes in that, their energy is yuck. And when they touch it, I feel like they've invaded something that's like, ew. And I know I don't have to cleanse it, but I always feel like I have to, even though I know selenite is a self-cleansing stone. So, but you can, it's almost like that, you can feel the energy bouncing off that stone when that person touches it. So,
and you just want to be mindful. And, you know, here's the thing, you guys, if somebody touches it, then you go and you clean it and you reactivate it again. And don't be upset. Don't be mad because they touched it for a reason. So they obviously needed something from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the stone letting you know. You don't know if that person needed that last piece. And then when you reactivate it, you're bringing that stone or whatever, the stone has it within.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, it might be to where it's being, it's activating that space at a different level for you. So that person more than likely is doing you a favor, just so you know. And don't get so rigid in the belief system that it has to be a certain way, knowing that things are presented to you for a reason. So just keep an open mind and
Okay, ma'am, I will do that.
As I'm looking at her.
Yeah, she's looking at me, I'm like, okay, I get it. Okay.
Get out of your head.
So shall we talk a little bit more now about making a crystal grid?
Yes, we sure can, you guys.
Okay.
A grid is when you place stones around a building, a person, or a place for energy enhancement or for protection.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's different grids that you can do for different things. You can do prosperity, you can do abundance, you can do healing. Anything you want to do that you need, you can sit here and do it. You can do it for love. You can do grids for every single thing. It can be stuff that you sit in. It can be stuff that you put something in, and that's a sacred space for you. It can be done, you know, for days. You can set a sacred. You can do it so it's set there for as long as it needs to be. You know, days, weeks, months, years, whatever. You can decide. There's
right.
no written rule on how you have to do it, but be very mindful of the intent of where you're at and being mindful of when you're touching your stones, what it is that you want to set the intent on.
Right.
It's not something busy and you're talking to somebody else. It's a sacred ritual, ritualistic practice, because you want good intentions in the grid that you're doing, because you're setting that energy in that space, just so people know. That's what a lot of people don't realize. You're setting huge energetic spaces, and it can be in there even after you take the grid down. So you want to be very mindful of what you're creating that space for and what you're doing with it. And again, you know, we are of the light, so be of the light.
Mm-hmm.
be other light. And if you second guess it, then don't do it.
Right.
So.
And it's usually it's done in a geometric pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So some guidelines to making a crystal grid. One, you want to decide on the purpose for your grid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your clear intention is what is empowering the stone's energy. So make sure it's, you know, you have an intention of what you're going to use the crystals for. Then you can, you know, you can write your intention down on a piece of paper if you want to do it that way. And then find a safe location to create your grid where it won't be disturbed. You know, nobody's going to bump it. Nobody's going to run into it or knock it off a table. Just find a very nice, safe location and then cleanse the space. So you can sage it. You can, you know, put bowls of sea salt, incense, candles, whatever you want to do into your space. Just make sure that space is cleansed. And then you can place your crystal layout. So you're going to determine, you know, what crystals you're going to use for your grid, and then lay them out in a geometric pattern, and then charge. Usually in a grid, there's a master crystal in the middle. So you want to charge that master crystal, and then once your crystals are all laid out, relax and center yourself, and then visualize your goal. And then once you visualize your goal and have a send out a positive intention, then just say a prayer of gratitude when you're done.
Everything is about gratitude, you guys. It's about gratitude. So, like I said, it's and everything about gratitude is being mindful. So is there anything else that you wanted to say on that? And there's different kind of...
No, there's lots of different grids you can do for whatever, you know, if you have a specific intention or purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are different grids. I mean, you can look them up on the internet. You should be able to. If you say you want an abundance grid, you know, just you can see examples of how people have created those, or you can, if you know enough about stones, you can choose the stones that call to you that are related to abundance and then create the pattern yourself.
And just so you know, a little mindfulness, some crystals and stones don't want to be together. So if somebody says you need to put these two together, but you're going, that just doesn't feel right for me, tune into your intuition. That's your intuition saying no, because that's not going to work for you. Don't get bent out of shape on it. Don't think somebody's misguiding you. It's just it's not working for you. And be okay with it not working for you. So with that in mind, geez, I had another thought to that, and I just
Well, also, you know, have fun with it, too. Don't,
yeah, have fun.
Don't be so serious when you're making your grid so that you're so intense.
Oh, yeah.
Have
yeah.
fun with it.
Bring that humor, seriously.
Yeah.
Bring that laughter into that and see how it uplifts. And you're setting that. You're setting that space. Remember, you guys, when the houses and the buildings are gone, it's still the energetic space, so that can stay there. So it's, you know, it's just like being out in nature, certain places that you can come across. I guarantee you, a long time ago, before we existed in the time period we're in now, all these sacred spaces, what do you think vortexes, where do you think that all came from? It's like, and I'm not saying people set them that way, but be very mindful of what you're creating, because you don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know. So you want to create love and light.
Well, you know, and I look at grids. If you look at jewelry pieces
mm-hmm.
and how stones are put together and designed,
mm-hmm.
when you're wearing a necklace like that, stop for a minute and think about, is this a grid that someone has created? You know, is it a grid that... resonates with me, and see if you can pick up an energy on that.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all about sacred geometry, you guys. It's all about sacred geometry. Even when you're going, I don't have a clue, I guarantee you have a clue. It's your ego that's trying to sit here and go, but I don't know what I'm doing. Again, you guys, your intent is, if it's about love, you're creating love and creating light, just trust that the intuition, you'll be amazed at how it just comes to the surface, and you're going to be guided to do certain things. Now, to move on to...
I was going to say, do you have a... Should we give, like, one example of what a grid... Say we wanted to do a love or romance grid. What kind of stones would you put? I mean, like, in the middle, the master stone would be a rose quartz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I would probably do rose and clear quartz. around it?
Yes. You can also do selenite, because I've done this, because I had a union for myself to honor myself. And for those of you, I really highly recommend, do a sacred ceremony for yourself and have a ritual. And it was going to be this big. You can put, there's people, there's, it was really big back then, but it's something that's coming back into play, because it's about honoring ourselves and the divine feminine. And this is for men and women, the divine feminine energy, because it's this new creative energy that's coming together with this new divine, gentle, masculine energy. So you can create a union. If you're having a union ceremony for yourself that you're going to honor and cherish yourself, you know, so I've done this before. And so it's creating this big circle that I did, and it was all rose quartz, and it was really beautiful. I had candles, I had a mirror so you could look at yourself and you could talk to yourself, and you're seeing that reflection back at you, and it's just creating that sacred ritual. And you do it on a certain day. You can decide the date, you can decide how eloquent it gets, you can decide if you want to have a party and there's witnesses to it. But again, I'm being guided on saying this too, so it's interesting. A lot of people who are probably being guided to doing this now, I've done it, and I did it years ago. I have to look up when I did this. It's been over 5 years now. So, and it was a really big deal. I wear a piece of jewelry to honor that day because it's honoring me. So, again, I used all rose quartz, and I think I might have had, when I was sitting in the middle of it, I think I was holding a rose quartz on my left side, no, on my right side, and then I was using clear crystal quartz on my left side. And you can do whatever you're drawn to, because I had a circle, and then I had something to the north, something to the east, something to the south, something to the west. So I did all of this, and I was guided. It was definitely guided on what it was that I was supposed to do, and I had to play certain music. So you can decide how elaborate it gets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to get that elaborate. So I left some really cool energy in that place that I used to live in, let me tell you. But that's one way. So to bring in more love, of course, you want to use stones that are known for love. And rose quartz is numero uno in my eyes. Not saying it's the only one, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of people say the Mother Mary, who is the mother of all mothers, according to many individuals. I'm not here to start an argument with anybody by all means, but the unconditional love. So I would highly recommend rose quartz. So that's for self-love. And for, you know, if you're trying to attract more love into your life, and who doesn't want more love and not just romance? Mm-hmm. You want more loving friends who are empowering and encouraging. Family members can shift. Yep. If you put their name into it, you can't make anybody change. You can just sit here and say, I'm doing this ceremony. So when their higher selves choose and accept this, it's there. And you'll be amazed at, they'll start feeling it. And those who are wanting more love in their life, it's going to come in. And you can have ceremonies for everything.
Yeah.
Ceremonies for everything.
And, you know, one of the best gifts, if you're looking for a gift for someone's birthday or whatever, get them just a simple rose quartz pendant, you know, a necklace with a rose quartz pendant that they can wear, mm-hmm. and then it hangs by their heart. Simple and beautiful present.
Oh, you guys, you can also use pink tourmaline. You can use pink tourmaline.
Mm-hmm.
Love that stone, too. Anything to do with pink. There's why am I going blank on it? It starts with R's. I suppose I could look in one of my books here.
Rhodochrite?
Hmm. I should know this. Once upon a time, I knew all this stuff.
Rhodochrosite.
Yep.
Rhodochrosite.
There's another one. You can use lilac quartz.
Ooh.
Anything to do with the color pink, because pink, you guys, represents love, mm-hmm. and that's divine love. It's the pink energy that comes in. So that's the reason that I'm saying pink. Let me see here. What else?
Yeah.
Ooh, here's a Siberian purple quartz. It looks like pink. And I'm telling you, I have a Siberian blue quartz. Lordy, do I get more comments on that and the energy that comes from that thing? I would love to have a hand on a Siberian quartz that's purple.
Yeah, and
see the energy that
if you go to a rock store, you know, where you can find a lot of these rocks, sometimes you can find little bracelets made from all of these too. So that's another great gift, or a good way to carry the crystals on you is, you know, just a simple beaded bracelet.
Exactly. Boy, I'm seeing now it's all this pink that's coming in. And I know right now, you guys, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with the self-love right now. There's a lot of the middle heart and the low heart are being worked on right now just because of what I'm going through. And when I'm going through it, I guarantee people are going through it now in the the mass public is going to be coming into it within the next week or two. I'm usually a week to 2 weeks ahead of time. So just to be prepared, and that's where we carry lower energies because we're moving up into the high heart, which is where we carry the turquoise. It's more the zeal, or not the zeal, the what is that color that the kids always say? Not turquoise, they describe
teal.
It as teal. So that will be worth, this would be something, if you're going, what do I need to do for myself? This would be really seriously something to think about. And those of you, just so you know, if financially you're in a space right now to where you're saying, right now it's not in my budget to be able to, don't say I can't afford it, because that's the universe saying that you don't have. Just saying, at this moment, it's, you know, I choose not to buy the rose quartz at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can visualize setting the intent. You can have pictures of books. So if you have pictures of rose quartz, you can set that in a circle, you guys. It's the intention. It's amazing the power of intent and what it can do. So, and you can have your little rituals that way also. Of course, having the actual stone there, I think, is energetically just a little bit different. But it's not saying you have to have it if you can't.
Right.
At this moment, purchase that stuff right now. So, but when the time is right, it will be there. So just so you know, that's just some of the stuff you can do. But also, did you want to say anything more?
Nope.
To that? Nope. Well, you might want to chitty chat until I find my space here. So there's something I wanted to talk about. This is being drawn to me. Oh. You know, grids. There's different ways of having grids, and you can also create a medicine wheel within your house also, or you can create it outside. My dream, again, is to have a big medicine wheel and labyrinth, because to me they're two different energies, outside. But that's when I come to my final place that I know this is where I need to do it. But I'm all about the directions of the earth, the elements of the earth. So with a medicine wheel, medicine wheels teach you to bring balance into your life, and you work with it in a clockwise direction, and it's starting with the south, because think about the south, birthing, when we're birthing coming out of the birth canal, guess where we're coming from? So it's starting in the south, so that makes place. So that's where we first take, you know, incarnation. And then you also want to look at the south, because it's close to place. It's the one that's where we were birthed from. You can put different crystals and stones in there, and it's going to be whatever it is that you're called to. But since that would be considered the lower chakras, you're going to probably want to use some darker crystals and stones for that area. And again, you can get pictures of what a medicine wheel would look like on the internet. And then you have the southwest, the direction of the southwest, which is the place of dreams. So, and for dream time, seriously, selenite is your best stone, seriously, because it automatically will clean it. And then you have the west, which is the place that looks within. And you can use, and that is viewed as, I think, to look within, that's considered more of the feminine energy. It's looking deep within. Again, don't quote me on anything, but I think that's where, if I want, I almost want to say that that's where introspection comes from, is the feminine aspect of us. So, again, don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure, because I thought I had a class on that. And so I don't have the piece of paper right on me. This is me trying to recall. Then we have the northwest, which is the place of habits, patterns, and routines. And the crystal that you can use there would be like a chlorite phantom quartz, which would be viewed as a shaman quartz. So how easy the access to having one of those are, that I'm unsure of. Again, it's not the only stone. And then you have the north, which is the place of knowing. And that's more of the masculine than the feminine, I think it's viewed as. And I would say, when you think about that, okay, that's connected with the higher chakras, the third eye and the crown chakra and above. So yes, that's going to be more of your crystal clear quartz. And I would just leave it at that, because I know crystal clear quartz. And then they come in, because then there's different kinds of quartz.
Yeah,
you have
different colors.
You have so many different. No, they all have different meanings.
Oh.
Because then you have ones that you can access certain information, but I don't think we want to get into in-depth on that, because it's, again, not my specialty area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the direction of the northeast, which is the place of choices. And guess what? Choices that we've made in our past, choices that we're making in our present, and choices that can affect our future. And the stone that is fantastic for that is amethyst, because that is a healing stone.
Yeah.
That is a very powerful stone. And then you have your direction of the east, which is the sea far place, which would be, I don't know if it's considered like looking into, you know, into the past, looking into the future, but that's viewed as more of the masculine energy. So, again, you would use the, like a natural citron color. And then you have your southeast direction, which is the place of ancestors.
Mm.
And there's actually a stone that is called the spirit quartz, which I would love to get my hands on.
Oh, I saw that at the
store. And you can do
past lifetime.
What?
I saw
there
that was at,
one
the,
at that store.
Yeah, there was the store we were at, yep.
And then we have another direction, which is the center, and that's the place above, below, and all that is. And guess what stone that is good for? Smoky quartz.
Mm.
And it's the celestial. So I don't know if that's any different than the other stones, like the smoky quartz that I have. I don't know if it's, because they all have different properties.
Right.
They all have different properties. So those are just some of the things that you can do for a medicine wheel. And a medicine wheel, to a lot of people, would be considered a grid. But so for those of you who do it and you argue against it, again, I'm not arguing.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily dispute what it is that I say. You can easily dispute it. So, but that's just some of the ways that you can sit here and create sacred spaces for yourself. And then you have your labyrinths.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who have them inside, and there's people who have them outside. And the outside, you have the access to the nature. So you're bringing in the tree essence, you're bringing in the ground essence, you're bringing in the flower essence.
Do you want to describe what a labyrinth is in case somebody's not familiar?
Oh, gosh, how would they describe it? How would you describe a labyrinth?
It's like a pathway.
Yeah.
It's
like a spiral.
Yeah,
like
a spiral that's created. It's a pattern that's created with rocks.
Yeah.
I know, like, sometimes you'll see them created with a hedge,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about a rock labyrinth.
But it tends to go, like, most of them go in, like, a spiral. And before you enter into it, and there's different ways, because I've been to really elaborate
mm-hmm.
labyrinths and really just very simple ones. But, man, it's the intent that goes into it. And when you go in, you're in a very, you don't go in there jibber-jabbering. You really set the intent, because you're opening up the door to go into the sacred space that somebody has created. And there's a lot of individuals, so there's places at each stop that you can go and you can reflect, because this is where you do deep introspection in. You can go in and you can get clarity on a question or questions, or you can go in there with just tabula rosa, with nothing there, and just whatever feedback you're going to get. It might be to where you just need that piece of, that inner piece, to where that's what you're going to get. You can go in there to where you're in and out of it within 5 minutes if that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people walk in there fast,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen people to where they've been in there for hours. I myself, I've done it in groups. I've done it individually. And when I go in with the groups, I go in with groups who are very serious. We're very serious, and we're very mindful. You don't just pass somebody. You wait for them to be finished so that you're not going in energetically and interrupting their space and their energy. So it's not somebody that, if you're on a time frame, when you're going in a group, then be very mindful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might want to be the first one who starts it so that you can be in and out. But also be mindful of each step that you take, that next person is walking into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to hold a very, you know, it's a very sacred thing.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. I've seen people where they haven't taken it serious, and, you know, and others, for me, I take this stuff very seriously. Again, it's my way of life. I walk my talk. At least I hope I do. I hope people find that I do, but I'm not perfect at it by any means. But I love labyrinths. I would love to have a labyrinth myself. I've seen them in churches, believe it or not.
Yeah. There's a bookstore, a local bookstore here, that has a labyrinth in their store.
Which one?
Eye of Horus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they have one in their store. It's a smaller labyrinth, but it's open for walking. People can go in and
mm-hmm.
and walk the labyrinth. So,
you know, and for those of you to where you're starting, I would suggest you can probably get onto the internet and ask if there's any public labyrinths. You know, type in public labyrinths that you can go to just to see what it is. Type it up on your internet. Create a sacred one within a, like, if those of you who have extra house space, create one there. Create it. They don't have to be ginormous. You can create it in the backyard, the front yard. But remember, it's a sacred space. You're creating energy and what your intent is. So if it's intent that people get gain clarity and understanding in that labyrinth, then you set the intent for that, you know.
Yep. And then the last thing we wanted to talk about was meditating. So meditation with crystals and stones. Do you use a lot of crystals when you meditate?
Yes and no. I've gone through mine. I need to get back into it again because my guides are going, Beth, why aren't you using this? Because it's easier because of the properties that the crystals and the stones hold for the information to come in through. Like I said, they all serve a purpose, as we all serve a purpose. Mm-hmm. We're all pieces to the puzzle. So,
and you can, you know, if you're meditating and you want to, and you're also working on your chakras too, that's a great way to use your stones. You know, just lay down and do your meditation, and then put the stone that corresponds with that chakra
mm-hmm.
in the appropriate energy point, and then that helps with your meditation because you're kind of doing, you know, two or three things at once. So that's one way. You know, while you're sitting and meditating, you can also be holding one of your crystals as well.
Oh, yeah.
Anything, you know, that you want, that you need specific help with, like, you know, like a rose quartz, or if you're trying to get more in touch with the angelic realm, you might hold a piece of celestite. So,
you know, and the thing is, you guys, crystals and stones, and it depends on what the role of each stone, there are certain ones that can bring you, can help you activate programs within you to go into different realms. So this is not stuff that you just play around with. It, like I said, you know, you want to do your research. You don't have to be scared of it by any means, because if your intent is purely for love and light, but you have to be mindful of where it is that you go. You have to be able to recognize. Remember, nothing can feed off of fear. I mean, anything can feed off of fear. Nothing can grow other than love from love, you know. So just be very, very mindful. I would recommend, if you're just starting, be very mindful of what it is that you're buying, that you're investing in. Do a lot of research on it. Don't just assume because you did research on it that you know all there is to know. I would suggest, if you have any questions about anything, to find somebody who is a practitioner and seek out their advice on what they would do, because you want to be mindful. When you go to different realms, you can create karma. You can bring back stuff with you. So,
yeah, we were at a local rock store last week, and there was a lady and her friends in there, and the one woman, you could tell, I mean, she was, you know, she really knew a lot about the stones, because she was putting her hands over the stones and feeling the energy and deciding what to buy. But her friends were just running around and grabbing whatever. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Rather than kind of taking their time, you know, to feel their way around the stone, feel the energy, see if it's something they really need. It was almost like they were in a quest just to buy whatever they could buy, just for the sake of saying, well, I have crystals. And when you do that, you know, you're kind of opening yourself up to a lot of things that you may not be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
So as Beth said, take your time, you know. Really, you can go to a rock store, but take your time and look at the different rocks and crystals. See what you're drawn to, but research it a little, because I know this happened to Beth. She bought like three or four different stones and threw them all in her pocket, and then
and I know better.
Like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, yeah, I'm hearing you have too many rocks in your pocket. And as she took them out, then she started calming down.
Oh.
The combination of what she had put together too much.
And I completely forgot, mind you guys, I always usually wear earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings that have gemstones in them. So I was like on overload, and then I had brand new ones, which I didn't even activate. I forgot to activate them too. But it took, and here I'm, because I'm so used to doing it, and I'm just like, what, man, am I out of sorts? And it took her going, because you have too many on.
Yes,
it's,
I'm like, take this
good
one out.
Lord.
I hear you only have to wear this one. That's it. Take the rest out. Take them out of my house.
And it's amazing. When people are out of sorts, we forget you got a crystal and stone in your pocket. And it might have helped yesterday, but you may not need it today. And so that's just your, it's all of your senses saying, okay, you don't need it right at this moment. So put it away, keep it away for safekeeping. But meanwhile, clear it, and it needs to be re-energized and everything. So it's like, oh, that was hysterical. That was just, wasn't that just earlier
this week?
So I'm like, well, you know, you live and learn. And again, I know better. But I even do it myself. I forget about it, and I did it myself. God bless it. Here's another second thing that I needed to say, and it completely just escaped my mind. Isn't that interesting? I can't remember what it is that I wanted to say. Is there anything else that we, meanwhile, is there anything else that we want to...
No, I think...
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Being mindful of when you go into places and you're hearing all your friends talking about crystals and stones and you don't want to feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you all go somewhere, let's say you go somewhere and you're buying and everybody's buying, you're just not drawn to anything. Don't just buy just to be buying because
exactly.
It's not meant for that day. It could be you go back to that store, that place, the next day or another time, and then you're going to be ready. So you're not, a lot of us feel left out. Don't feel left out. You're not going to be left behind.
Right.
Just so you know, you're not going to be left behind.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, as knowledgeable about stones and crystals. So I slowly am starting to buy, you know, after reading about them, I'm slowly starting to buy a few here and there. But, like, for me, the one thing that I'm always attracted to and always drawn to is selenite.
Uh-huh.
So when I see selenite, it just, it's like a magnet. It pulls me over and I'm like, all right. And as soon as I hold it, I'm activated from top to bottom. I am just, the energy is just coming through. So I know that for me, it's almost like everywhere I go, I have to buy a piece of selenite because that's what draws me.
Exactly.
That's what activates me.
And, you know, and just, you know, just so you know, you might have 10 friends who are, oh, my God, bragging about the selenite. And if you're going, ugh, I just feel icky, mucky, yucky with it, it's not the stone for you.
Right.
That's all it is. You're just at a different frequency, a different vibrancy at that time. And that's not a bad thing. Because we shift. We come and go. I'm in good places, and I go into dark places. I'm in good place. I go to a not-so-good place. You know, so we vasculate back and forth. It depends on what it is that we have to look at and release and let go. So
right. And they will call you. The stones
will
call you. You may, you know, have a couple pieces of jewelry, and you look at them every day, and you're like, eh, I don't feel like wearing them. And then the day that you need it, it's almost like it's standing in front of you going, could you put me on? Could you put me on? That's because you need whatever it's giving at the time.
And it can also be the opposite to where you've worn. I had a sister, still have her. I know she's still there. Sorry. She was so big into blue topaz for so long, just drawn to it. Now I get why. We're talking she wore it for years. Now she doesn't go near that jewelry. So it just means it served its purpose for that time, even if it was 10 years or more, and now she doesn't have to have it anymore. And now she doesn't do the crystal and stone thing other than her jewelry. She doesn't realize what it's all about. But, you know, she's still doing her thing without even being, you know, conscientious of what is going on. So just so those of you, because I've heard a lot of people saying, oh, my God, I used to have a necklace, which was turquoise, and it was a family heirloom, and I used to wear it forever and ever, and now I can't go near it. Well, that's the reason. Mm-hmm. Your body is now saying you no longer need it at that extent.
Right.
It's not saying you'll never go near it again, but there's other things that need to come in that you need to wear and use for different reasons. So, you know, with that. So
did you have something else that you wanted to add?
Well, you know what? Here's something. Are we done talking about this? And this is it getting towards the end of the show?
We've got about maybe 5-7 minutes left.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's a little meditation that you can do.
Perfect.
And this would be to where you could use a piece of rose quartz or an amethyst, because what we're going to do is we want to invoke more love into our life. And that's where I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who does not need more love? And we want healthy love in our life. Love that is supportive of us as we're supportive of, you know, of the love that we give also. So you want to sit down, lay down, whatever, and you want to place that crystal with 4 candles, if you have candles, because candles can bring it to a whole new, another level, you guys, just so you know, because then other things can come through, like loved ones, your spirit guides can come in a lot more to where people are going, I feel their presence. And it's something to do with fire, just because it's an element.
Mm-hmm.
And set it on a table or on the floor just so it's safe. Be very mindful of that. If you have carpet, be mindful of that. And you cover it with a cloth, silk cloth, cotton cloth, whatever, it doesn't matter. Place 1 candle to the north, and you want to welcome the spirits that are of the light of that direction as you light it. And then you place the other candles to the south, the east, and the west, and then you again welcome the spirits of each direction as you light the candle. Again, you want to be mindful. Don't rush through it. And then ask the spirits to act as guardians of love and light, and that it's 100% for your highest good, and that they keep you safe and that you're safe as you do this. And then you take your rose quartz into your hand and you sit facing the table. And if they're really large, you just do it one at a time. So we all have different sizes. And then you close your eyes and you quietly attune to the crystals. And then you let their energy flow through the hands, through your hands, up your arms and into your heart. And as the energy reaches your heart, you feel your heart opening up and expanding, and you want to visualize it coming from the center of your heart. And then you want it to expand to your higher heart and to your lower heart. Then you touch that crystal to your heart. And the rose quartz is a very, very powerful heart cleanser as well as healer. You can't help but feel the love. And then you need to allow your heart to be purified by the energies of the crystals. You have to give your heart permission to allow that energy to come into that space that you haven't allowed to come in. And even though you're going, what? What do you mean? Just listen to the words that are being said right now, because that's the ego, because your body's going to recognize it. It's going to activate things within you that brings in more love, open up and expand. And then you say out loud, I am a magnet for love. I welcome love into my heart. And then you place the crystals around the amethyst on the table. And you can say out loud, and love comes into my life with ease and grace for my highest and best good. And then you sit quietly for a few minutes with your eyes focusing on the stone. You can have them open or closed, because visualize, people can visualize with their eyes closed and you can see it. And then when you're ready to complete the ritual, and take your time, don't rush through this. Then you can get up slowly, not quickly, just get up slowly, and blow out each candle in turn. And then say, I send your love and light into the world. And if you guys want to invoke more love for the planet, you can put names in there, you can put countries in there, you can put situations in there, if you want to sit here and heal, whatever it is that you want to sit here and send more love to. And then you can either leave the crystals on the table or you can place them around your bed. You can put them in your sacred space if you have a place that you go and meditate, because you've invoked that love and it's going to stay there, and it's going to stay there. So that's something you can do every day. You can do it more than one time a day. You can do it as often as you like. You can do it to where you're doing it for, if you want to do an hour worth of sending it to each family member, friend, work situation. Again, countries. There are countries that need that love right now being sent, and to all the people that are involved, so that the discordance that's going on in the world can be resolved, it can be healed in a nonviolent way.
Right.
I have always said, since I was a child, all we need to do is be able to hug each other and say, I love you, but I may not like your choices, and just love each other for, you know, their belief systems. You don't have to take it on.
Right.
And it's
right.
Just letting it go. So, I mean, there's different things, you guys, that you can do with these grids. That would be considered just what I told you. That would be a ritual. You could invoke that as a grid. You can put whatever label that you want on it. But that would be a good one that anybody can sit here and use. And you can do it for loved ones who have already crossed over, too. If you know that if you have a feeling that they're struggling. I've had people who don't think they're tuned in to their loved ones but are, and saying, I just feel that they're not at peace. Well, you know what? Here's a good way of giving your grandma, your great-grandma, whoever, your grandfather, your father, whoever, no matter what your relationship was like with them alive, and if you didn't know them, but you're feeling that, you can invoke this, and you can send that to them, and it's up to them whether or not they choose to accept and allow that love to come.
Awesome. That was a really good one, and I hope everyone tries that one. So we are now at the end of our show. I think it was a really good show. I hope you all learned a lot from this. And we want to say that the show is also brought to you by Christine Scott. And if you would like to join us on Wednesday, we're doing our midweek Stress Buster show. Remember, you can download this using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons. And you can also follow our show on the Blog Talk Radio page. And please go to Facebook and find our Facebook page, Divine Goddess Radio, and like us. We would really appreciate it. And we will see you on Wednesday.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.